Blog Talk Radio.
Absolutely. James Bostic here, Conservative Perspective, blogtalkradio.com, Blog Talk Radio, putting the blah, blah, blah in Blog Talk. You can find us under the Patriot Nation Radio Network. That's where we're working out of. We do it live. Yeah, baby, live. Tuesdays and Thursdays. I'm feeling loose tonight, man. I don't know exactly where we're going to go or what's going to happen, but I'm feeling pretty good. It's been a good day. We're live Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, I guess this would be Eastern Daylight Time, isn't it? Because we're back on the daylight savings train. And speaking of trains, the Democrat Party is going off the rails on a crazy train. These guys, Melissa Petrie, the board op, just sent me an inbox that, they've turned into fundamentally the Democrat Party should now be the Wile E. Coyote Party, because it's like watching, and I've always been a big Wile E. Coyote fan because he is, like myself, a super genius. But everything they try and everything they have tried, and the point goes beyond just this. That observation, that meme that she sent me about the Democrat Party being like Wile E. Coyote, it goes beyond just the Weissman-Mueller report. Everything they have said about this guy, they have gotten completely wrong. We're going to go to war with North Korea. The economy's never going to come back. You can't just take a magic wand and create those jobs and all this stuff. Everything they've said about the guy. They're walking through their own minefield, and everywhere they step, and they're just blowing their shorts off every time they try to do something. So the Mueller report comes out last Thursday, as you well know. Oh, by the way, Sunday's 4 p.m., Mojo50 Radio, Mojo50.com. You go there, you can listen online, or you can go to the iHeartRadio app that Mojo50 has, and you can catch ACP in its recorded version there. Sundays at 4 p.m. We just made the jump. We just made the move up to those guys, and I'm really excited about it. I mean, it's on a personal level, it really means a lot to me for a number of reasons, because this is my bag, man. This is my jam. You know what I mean? This is what I love doing. Radio is my thing, and the people that I'm working with now, the same folks that did Talk America Radio, but it's just another level up. They're awesome people. I have a great deal of admiration and respect for them. They've been really good to me. They're showing me the talk radio business. I'm really proud of it. So Sundays, 4 p.m., Mojo50 Radio, ACP. And then, of course, the live version that we do here Tuesdays and Thursdays. Okay, the Mueller report came out last Thursday, and everybody's been talking about it ever since. Conference call today. Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Jerry Nadler, all the House of Representative committee heads, because you know when control changes hands in the House of Representatives, you know, when the Democrats are in control, then the Democrats chair the committees, and there's a Republican in there somewhere who's the ranking Republican on the committee, and then when the Republicans are in control, vice versa. Well, big conference call today between Chuck Schumer, Gerald Nadler. Gerald Nadler is on the he's chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. Devin Nunes is the ranking committee member. He's the Republican. He's the ranking the ranking committee member on the Schiff Heads Committee, the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, and that's chaired by Adam Schiff. So all the Democrat heads in the House, in the Senate, you know, there's like six of them. They're on this phone call with Speaker Nancy Pelosi. What's the issue here? Well, you know, they're still going on about this whole impeachment deal. Now, a lot of this is signifying they're not going to do it. I really don't think they're going to do it. And either way, if they do proceed with impeachment hearings against the president, it will destroy them. Public's tired of this. They don't believe it. The only people that believe it are the ones that know that it isn't true, weird as that may be. But that's what's going on. So they have this conference call. I'm not exactly sure, and I'm really not at liberty to say how I came across this. It is not the entire call, but it represents some of the most important aspects of this conference call clip coming up right now. This was from today, Nancy Pelosi and the six House committee leaders. Not exactly sure if Nancy Pelosi's ever been in better voice. And, you know, if you ask me, pretty easy to understand there what she's laying out. So we are going to touch upon a lot of this stuff. And you know what? We can have fun while we're doing it. And they are. They're just a bunch of jackasses. And you know what? That's the same thing for the Republicans, too. Lots of jackass Republicans out there. Say what you want to about the man, and you can take the good and the bad, and you can weigh the whole thing out and come up with whatever your theory is. But George Wallace, former governor of Alabama, once said of Washington politicians, five Democrats, five Republicans in a bag, give them a good shake, reach in and pull one out, it won't matter because there's not a dime's worth of difference between any of them. And he's absolutely right for so many of them. So let's go ahead and move on to to the report. There's a man named Joe. There's a man by the name of Joe DeGenova out there on the scene, and he is he's a lawyer. He's like a super lawyer, super duper lawyer, and he everybody has speculated about this. Everybody has speculated about it. Well, he's a former assistant attorney general for the District of Columbia. When it comes to jurisprudence and avenues, you know, avenues of that pursuit, he's a leading light. He's a big thinker, and practically all the speculation and the predictions as to how this thing was going to play out, this man, Joe DeGenova, has commented on, and he's hit it spot on. Yesterday, he was on WMAL. He has a regular segment on this show. Now, this is about a 14 and a half, 15 minute clip. Again, you know how I am, but it's so much easier for you to hear these guys, you know, with the technology we have, and it's, you know, I can lift the clip up and I can play it for you rather than me, you know, half-assed paraphrasing it. And so this is from yesterday, a talk radio station out of DC, WMAL, Joe DeGenova, how he thinks the rest of this whole Mueller mess is going to play out.
Joe, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Great to have you back with us. You know, this 60 Minutes interview with Deputy Director, FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe, former, since fired, of course, aired last...
Oopsie, wrong clip. Here it is. Now, Joe DeGenova.
I'm Vince Collins alongside Mary Walter.
Good morning. Joining us now, Joe DeGenova, legal analyst, former U.S. attorney to the District of Columbia. Joe, good morning.
Good morning. Happy Easter to everybody.
Same to you.
Happy Easter to you as well. Joe, the Mueller report is the ultimate Washington, D.C. Rorschach test. If you're a Republican, you see no collusion, no obstruction. If you're a Democrat, you see impeachment. And the Democrats today have a conference call planned to debate the Mueller report's implications, with the question of impeachment on the table and the calls for that growing. Do they have anything to hang their hat on as far as impeachment in this report?
Well, impeachment is a political process under the Constitution, which requires high crimes and misdemeanors, such as bribery, treason, etc. Now, although many Democrats and many people in the press and many former intelligence officials have accused the president of treason, with no basis whatsoever, that doesn't mean that the Congress is incapable, under the leadership of Nancy Pelosi and Elijah Cummings and Jerry Nadler, truly a bunch of lightweights, to do the unthinkable, which is to try and impeach the president. If they do so, they will ensure his reelection and they will lose the House and we will increase our seats in the Senate. So there's part of me that wants them to do it, but it's not good for the country. But when have the Democrats ever worried about the good of the country?
Yeah, impeachment, it's amazing that anybody's even discussing it, because you have basically a minority of members in the House who are saying we're going to overturn the will of the people. On the basis of what? They haven't even made a clear case, Joe, yet they're basically saying the words impeachment first and hoping for evidence later.
Yeah, well, you don't have to convince me. I'm certainly in the category that this is a stupid exercise if they undertake it. I think what you see is what happens when hatred for a political figure reaches the fever pitch and then obliterates all reason.
Yeah.
The opposition to the president is probably best reflected by people like Chuck Todd of Meet the Press and NBC News, and I use the word news advisedly. Chuck Todd has become a nut, an absolute nut, an ignoramus, an anti-intellectual fool representing NBC News, but apparently nobody at NBC even cares about that anymore. So, as I've said before, we're in a civil war. At this point, it's nonviolent, and I hope it stays that way. We have the war of ideas, and I call it the war of non-ideas, when there are people like Chuck Todd who actually decline to recognize reality in their discussions. these people still think there was collusion. It's like listening to Clapper say, well, it may not have been active collusion. It may have been passive collusion. Now, you have to be mentally ill to say that.
Now, can I just get your reaction to the Mueller report in total? Because we haven't
sure.
talked to you since its release. What do you think of how the job that Bob Mueller did and what that report revealed?
I think Bob has embarrassed himself. First of all, it's not the Mueller report. It's the Weissman report. Andrew Weissman is responsible for this, and you can tell because the entire obstruction section, the 200-page volume 2, is all about Andrew Weissman's bizarre theories of obstruction of justice. Remember, this is the person who, with the consent of the Bush Justice Department, went after people at Arthur Andersen and Enron on a theory of obstruction that the Supreme Court rejected 9-0. This is the kind of brilliant legal thinking that Bob Mueller surrounded himself with. It really doesn't matter what the report says. The report is an embarrassment to federal law enforcement. It's a violation of all DOJ regulations. Bob Mueller is a disgrace. I've known Bob. I like Bob. What he has done in this report is an embarrassment to himself, and it's an embarrassment to the Justice Department. Bill Barr is too nice a guy to say that publicly about Bob Mueller, but this report is a disgrace. Now, listen to this. He says the president, he can't prove the president committed the crime, but he's not going to exonerate him. Now, let's think of what that means. That means that you are no longer entitled to the presumption of innocence. That means that you have to prove that you didn't commit a crime. This is sick. And Mueller stayed too long at the fair. Just watching him talk to that NBC reporter outside, he mumbled something about he never comments. I can't wait to watch him testify.
Do you think we're going to see both Mueller and Barr testify? And if so, will it be in an open public setting?
Well, yes, they are both going to testify. Certainly, Bill Barr has agreed to, and at least once or twice, once in the Senate, once in the House, and maybe for before different committees. As far as Mueller, he works for the Attorney General. The Attorney General can tell him not to testify, but he is not going to do that. He will allow him to testify. And I hope Bob does testify because he won't be able to handle it. He couldn't answer a question now if his life depended on it. He stayed too long at the fair. This obviously is the Weissman report. I think this, you know what's really fascinating about this? Andrew Weissman, this will tell you what Weissman thinks of his own work. Instead of going back to the Justice Department, which he was detailed from to work on the Mueller case, he resigned from the Justice Department, is now teaching at a New York law school, and is going to spend most of his time, now get this, on the Innocence Project. He left because he didn't want to be interviewed by the Inspector General about his role in the dossier. Guess what? He's going before a grand jury.
Speaking of the effort to take out Trump, Peter Strzok was removed from the Mueller investigation at one point based on his text messages and the suggestion. This is all based on what Peter Strzok tells us, the suggestion of the appearance of bias in the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Mueller himself has not spoken out about this. And why have we not, even in the wake of the conclusion of the Mueller report, gotten any details about people who had bias towards the president who were removed from the investigation?
Here's the question I have. There are two big questions sitting out there in this very area that you read my mind. Question number one, Mr. Mueller filed a waiver of conflicts after he was appointed. What were those conflicts? We have a right to know. I believe in transparency. I want to know what were the conflicts that Mueller asked for a waiver from the so-called ethics professionals in the Justice Department. That's number one. Number two, Judge Contreras, who sits on the U.S. District Court in D.C., took Michael Flynn's guilty plea and then was forced to recuse himself shortly thereafter. What was the reason for his recusal? Until we get answers to those two questions, everybody involved in this process, including the Chief Justice, Mr. Roberts, gets an incomplete.
Joe, we have a lot more questions for you, so please hang on, and we're going to get to you. We're here with Joe DeGeneva, legal analyst, former U.S. attorney to the District of Columbia. Joe, the left is screaming that they want to see all the supporting documents, and they want to see the unredacted report. Is William Barr going to give that to them? Are they going to get all the supporting documents? Is everyone in Congress going to be allowed to see that unredacted report or only select members?
Well, the only way they're going to get to see the completely unredacted report is with a court order allowing grand jury material to be disclosed to non-participants in the grand jury. That's up to the D.C. Circuit. They may grant it, they may not. If the department objects, they will never grant it. If the department doesn't object, they may likely grant it. I don't think they should, but who knows? I mean, obviously, releasing all the underlying information will create, you know, an opportunity for mischief from the Democrats. But they're gonna make up stuff even if they don't get what they want. So if you watch Adam Schiff, you see these people are like a bad minstrel show.
You know, the speaking of underlying documents and what fed into the investigation in the first place, this dossier prepared by the Clinton campaign is under some new scrutiny from the New York Times, which all of a sudden believes that the information within the dossier may not be true and that it may actually be the product of Russian misinformation, which is Johnny-come-lately. Holy cow, the New York Times finally coming around to that idea. How soon will we get a thorough vetting of the dossier and its role in all of this?
Well, that will be partially in the Michael Horowitz report on the FISA fraud. And let's make no mistake about it. I don't care what Michael Horowitz finds. Absolutely do not care what his facts are and his conclusions. We already know that the four FISA applications were fraudulent. Mm-hmm. You could not rely on the dossier. It is a false document. And its author of the 17 memorandums which constitute the so-called dossier, its author, Christopher Steele, testified under oath in a libel case in the UK that he could not verify any of the information. It is not even a close question about the status of the dossier. It was a political document produced for Hillary Clinton, the DNC, by Perkins Coie and Fusion GPS and Glenn Simpson and Nellie Orr to smear the President of the United States, create false intelligence to feedback into the United States to get FISA warrants. This is a closed case. For anyone who wants to debate this, they are nuts.
Joe, what do you think about some of the things that have come out where we see – there are questions that have come out of the report. For instance, Joseph Mifsud, we now know, according to from the Mueller report, that he lied about, to the FBI about the timeline of his contact with George Papadopoulos. And yet he has not been charged. George Papadopoulos was charged about lying with his contacts with Joseph Mifsud. So why was one charged and one was not charged? Those are questions that are being asked that are coming up.
Yeah.
Do we ever see the answers to those?
Well, here's the thing about Joseph Mifsud. He was an agent of John Brennan. If he lied to the FBI, he did so with the insistence of John Brennan. The FBI didn't believe Mifsud. They were using him. He's part of the agents of disinformation that were used to create false intelligence to feed back in front of U.S. courts. Mr. Mifsud is in Rome. They know where he lives. If they want to go talk to him, they can send the FBI legal attaché from the office in Rome. I can give you the address and have him go over and interview him. And he will tell them to go to hell. And if I were Mr. Mifsud, I would too. But when all is said and done, this is a John Brennan special. John Brennan created this entire scheme, made sure that it happened, got GCHQ in London to electronically spy on Americans, and Mr. Brennan needs a lawyer. He may need several, actually.
And now, with Bill...
Did you hear what he said? Did you hear the man? Yeah. Johnny's going to need some lawyering. He's going to need some serious lawyering. And nothing's going to make me happier. I cut the clip short with it. You know, it was like I said, it was a 50-minute clip. We were going along with it. But you get the idea. Now, something that was very telling in this interview, too, one of the hosts there, Johnny Announcer, said that, you know, he was commenting on the New York Times positing the idea that this whole dossier thing, gee, fellas, maybe it wasn't what we thought it was. Maybe it was those darn sneaky Russians doing their mischief. And watch very carefully, as goes the New York Times, so goes the Washington Post, so goes MSNBC, CNN. it may take a couple of months because the Democrats in Washington are still screaming bloody murder about impeachment, impeachment, impeachment. But watch. The media, in its various incarnations, like I said, all the alphabets, all the news organization, the newspapers, radio, television, they are as pond scum. They always seem to come out on top. And what you're going to see soon is a changing of their story in terms of, oh, Donald Trump's a Russian spy, to, oh, the Russians trying to screw with our election. They're going to start to distance themselves from this. It's too late, though. This thing has become, for the Democrats, especially in Washington, but the news media as well, and probably even, excuse me, for a longer period of time, this entire thing, even before the release of the Mueller report and the investigation has been a gigantic tar baby for the media. They can't stay away from it, and every time they try to punch it or pinch it or grab it and get a hold of it, their hands get gobbed up with this sticky tar and it goes everywhere. They can't get away from it. Well, they're going to try, but they're not going to be able to. And something more important, and I kind of figured this too, William Barr already has, and DeGeneva talked about it, he already has the wheels in motion for looking at what he describes as the genesis of this investigation. And Mr. DeGeneva, you know, he lined it out there, what they did, and it was really clever. They got this opposition research from this British dude. They turn it into false intelligence. Like I said, I've always said this was product. There could never be any obstruction or collusion because none of this stuff ever happened. How could you collude with and obstruct people or and obstruct things that you never that didn't happen to begin with? But Attorney General Barr says he's going to be looking into the genesis of this. What is that? Well, Tim Ziegler has some ideas on that. He was one of the co-authors of the book. Oh, geez, I had it right here. To Set the Record Straight. And that was the book that was written about how the Swift Boat veterans and POWs and the new media defeated John Kerry. And he has some thoughts on this whole deal here. And I hope that it goes. I hope that they're able to run it all the way to ground. And if they do that, that means it goes back to Hillary Clinton. Because for the last 2 years, we have all been forced to endure the temper tantrum thrown by Hillary Clinton over her second presidential campaign loss. Just like spectators in a grocery store watch a young mom attempt to rein in one of her out-of-control kids as it's rolling around in the floor. The American people as a whole originally defeated Hillary in the Democrat primary season of 2008. Now, the popular version of that loss is that Obama overwhelmed the party with his charm. The reality is that Democrat Party voters chose his inexperienced, melanin level, and vacuous campaign of hope and change over the known petulance and criminality that they'd witnessed in the 1990s by the Clinton administration, and they did not want to give the keys of the Republic to the Clintons again. Hillary ran a disastrous campaign in 2008 that was only superseded in its ineptitude by Hillary Clinton and John Podesta's campaign in 2016. So Barack Obama became the candidate and then president for two terms because of the second worst presidential campaign in American history. Hillary's overarching personal ambition was that she was destined to be president of the United States. It wasn't that she was a popular candidate. It was merely her turn. But she couldn't win that nomination in her own right. She didn't have the courage or the interpersonal political skills that a politician like her husband, Bill, who was brought along for the ride because he possessed the skills, but not the ambition to be president. His true desire was the access to a bunch of babes that the offices of state attorney general and then governor of Arkansas and then president of the United States afforded him. It was Hillary's ambition for him to be president so that she could wield the power behind the throne. And it wasn't just the campaigns that were utter disasters. Her tenure as Secretary of State, let's take a look at that. Her testimony in front of a House committee where she displayed her contempt for Congress, for the American military, for her own ambassador to Libya, and three other Americans whose lives were wasted in her foolish attempt to politically reshape North Africa, the Middle East, and imperil our biggest ally in the region, the State of Israel. It was the height of ignorance. She never understood that she was her own worst enemy. The more people got to know her, the more they disliked her. Her campaign crowds in Iowa were paltry compared to Bernie Sanders' enthusiastic and youthful attendees. And the same would be true 8 years later when Trump was holding rallies for the tens of thousands of supporters who supported him, not because of his Republican Party credentials or any of that, but because he was running against Hillary. She could only garner hundreds to occasionally thousands in her pitiful campaign events. Hillary Clinton thinks that the crime that party members committed back in 2008 was to choose Barack Obama over her. Having destroyed her own political career, it appears that she vowed to return the favor on the Democrat Party. She has used and abused and destroyed it. She appointed Debbie Wasserman Schultz to reign over the Democrat National Committee. The crimes committed by Debbie Wasserman Schultz on Hillary's behalf in illegally suborning the will of Bernie Sanders voters had to be covered up by Donna Brazile, who replaced her. And it was those ticked off, disenfranchised voters who failed to show up that kept Hillary from winning the election against Donald Trump. For over 2 years, we've listened to the harping of her flying monkeys in the press. Democrat voting bureaucrats and potential crony consultants seeking employment in Washington undermine and denigrate the president who really was elected to drain the swamp and fix Washington because he wasn't a politician. The American electorate had tried fixing the corrupt conundrum in the nation's capital by switching parties every two terms so that the corruption wouldn't become too deeply embedded, and that didn't work. The corruption and the spending continued apace. Donald Trump was elected to fix that and to not let Hillary Clinton embed the corruption any deeper than it already was. The Democratic Party and the Republican establishment have been complicit in Hillary Clinton's crime spree. You know, after their impeachment of Bill Clinton in 1998, the rule of law just became too hard. Republicans, famous for taking the easy way out, need to reform themselves, and they need to do it soon, or they're going to go the way of the Whigs. Don't forget, to win that nomination, Donald Trump handily defeated the cream of the crop of Republican presidential hopefuls before he wiped up the floor with Hillary. If Democrats ever want to return to national political relevance, they've got to stand up, and they've got to purge their party and their country of the Clinton plague. Republicans and Democrats, both parties, can only return to honor by honoring their oath to the Constitution of the United States and reestablishing the rule of law for Democrats, this may take a while. This thing has shaken us, this whole Mueller investigation and the fact that these people have been so blinded by vengeance in their hatred for Donald Trump, they have no idea the damage that they put the country through. And it doesn't matter. Here's the message. Here's the underlying thrust on either side, whether they're Bernie Sanders voters or they're Tea Party types, the American demand for political reform amongst their parties is strong. The same old is not going to cut it with voters anymore. And we're seeing that with every election cycle. Okay, we're down, well, actually the other side of the bottom of the hour. So we're going to take a little break, going to play some music, get a little drink, and we will be back with more of ACP after this.
It's knowing that your door is always open and your path is free to walk. That makes me tend to leave my sleeping bag rolled up and stashed behind your couch. And it's knowing I'm not shackled by forgotten words and bonds and the ink stains that are dried upon some line. That keeps you in the back roads by the rivers of my memory. It keeps you ever gentle on my mind. It's not clinging to the rocks and ivy planted on their columns now that bind me, or something that somebody said because they thought we'd fit together walking. It's just knowing that the world will not be cursing or forgiving when I walk along some railroad track and find that you're moving on the back road by the rivers of my memory, and for hours you're just gentle on my mind. Though the wheat fields and the clotheslines and the junkyards and the highways come between us, and some other woman's crying to her mother 'cause she turned and I was gone, I still might run in silence, tears of joy might stain my face, and a summer sun might burn me till I'm blind. But not to where I cannot see you walking on the back road by the rivers flowing gentle on my mind. I dip my cup of soup back from a gurgling, crackling cauldron in some train yard. My beard a roughening coal pile and a dirty hat pulled low across my face. Through cupped hands round the tin can, I pretend to hold you to my breast and find that you're awaiting from the back roads by the rivers of my memory, ever smiling, ever gentle on my mind.
Everybody's gone away. Said they're moving to L.A. There's not a soul I know around. Everybody's leaving town. Some caught a freight, some caught a plane. Find the sunshine, leave the rain. They said this town will waste your time. I guess they're right, it's wasting mine. Song got a the time Charlie's got the blues. Good time Charlie's got the blues. You know my heart keeps telling me you're not a kid at 33. You play around, you lose your wife. You play too long, you lose your life. I got my pills to ease the pain. Can't find a thing to ease the rain. I'd love to try and settle down, but everybody's leaving town. Some gotta win, some gotta lose. Good time Charlie's got the blues. Good time Charlie's got the blues. Good time Charlie's got the blues.
Hey, you just hang tight. You just hang tight, Charlie. James Bostic here, Conservative Perspective on the Patriot Nation Radio Network through the studios of Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com. That's where you go. We do it live Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have a recorded version of the program at Mojo 50 Radio, Sundays, 4 p.m. Mojo50.com. Go there. Outstanding programming, outstanding hosts throughout that entire umbrella of programs there. And that includes, of course, Talk America Radio as well. What's going to happen? Well, I don't think. That there's going to be, I really don't see any impeachment issues coming up. I honestly don't. I think they want to. They would love to. If they could sell it, they would. And while this does irreparable damage to the Democrats, it does even more so to the media. And Tucker Carlson's got a terrific clip, and I better put it in now so we've got time to get to it. About this, everything, basically, and this is no joke, everything that these guys have said has been wrong. Here's Tucker Carlson breaking it down.
So after two long years, here we are. It's hard to believe that any of it actually happened looking back. It was 2 years of unremitting, never diminishing hysteria about Russia. It was a continuous wave of panic and superstition over unseen Slavic interference, all stoked by the very people we're told are the most rational in our society. For 2 years, our capital city became a kind of massive CNN panel, a living monument to ignorance and dishonesty, where the loudest and the dumbest invariably got the most attention. We just lived through two full years of that. Screaming, threatening, surveillance, character assassination, loyalty tests, wild allegations of treason and spying and betrayal from office holders. Innocent people found themselves afraid to go to dinner, scared to send text messages or talk on the phone. For 2 years, we lived in an all-pervasive cult of personality. Our leaders worshipped a 74-year-old federal prosecutor who almost never spoke in public. He alone was good, they told us. Only they could interpret his will. It was all thoroughly bizarre. Demented, really, though nobody said so at the time. They were too afraid. It seems like a dream now, which actually it was. None of it was real. Nobody colluded with Vladimir Putin. Nobody changed vote totals or met secretly in Prague or had a P-tape, whatever that is. There was never a Russia conspiracy. Hillary Clinton wasn't robbed of her rightful position by Julian Assange or Roger Stone or anyone else. Hillary lost the election because she was an entitled boor who didn't run on anything. In the end, that's what Robert Mueller proved. The news anchors couldn't handle that. They couldn't handle that conclusion. It was too far from what they'd promised their audiences for so long. They were too invested in the lies. When the report arrived in Congress this morning, they found themselves reduced to huffing and sputtering. They couldn't admit what was in the report. Well, they told us, Robert Mueller didn't exonerate President Trump. Okay. I mean, that may be true, but only theologically. Mueller doesn't have the power to absolve sin. Only God can. But in every other sense, Mueller's report was exculpatory. If dozens of federal prosecutors spent 2 years trying to charge you with the crime and then found they couldn't, it would mean there wasn't any real evidence you did it. And that's what happened here. You may not like Donald Trump, but that's what we just learned from the Mueller report. You would have to be a mindless partisan to deny it. A lot of news anchors turn out to be mindless partisans. When the facts contravene the interests of their party, they deny the facts. Then they attack anyone who persists in stating the obvious out loud. So suddenly the very same people who lied to you for 2 years about Russia are demanding that under no circumstances are you allowed to believe anything that the Attorney General Bill Barr might say. Sure, Barr may look like a conventional Republican. He was a Jeb Bush donor and everything. And he does appear to be a close personal friend of Robert Mueller's. But that's why he's so tricky. It's all a ruse. In fact, Barr is a Putin stooge like all the rest.
If you look at his behavior, it is not that of a geriatric. It is that of a partisan.
But this looks like an inside job. We shouldn't take anything that Barr says tomorrow as anything other than performative coonery.
Is Barr the president's new fixer? The answer to that seems to be yes.
But he becomes the first cabinet secretary to plunge into the deep end of Trump's conspiracy pool.
So it was an inside job. That's the reigning assumption in Washington. Somehow, the attorney general is preventing Robert Mueller from concluding that Donald Trump colluded with Vladimir Putin and from telling the rest of us about it. How is Barr doing that? Well, it's not clear how he's doing that, but they are no less certain that he is doing that. Michelle Goldberg of the New York Times announced today that Barr's press conference this morning marked America's transformation into a, quote, authoritarian junta. Her colleague at the New York Times, Maggie Haberman, suggested that Trump might be a Nazi because the White House played a song from The Sound of Music, which, by the way, is an anti-Nazi musical, but it's still Germanic sounding and therefore suspicious. These are hysterical children. They should not be in journalism, but they are. In fact, they run journalism, and they have no plans on giving up their power. The Mueller report is probably the single most humiliating thing that has ever happened to the White House press corps in the history of this country. So how did reporters in Washington respond today when it finally came out? Well, they did what they do best. They celebrated themselves. Over on CNN, former Obama official, now posing as a reporter, Jim Sciutto, bragged that the Mueller report had, quote, debunked all of Donald Trump's unfair attacks on the media. At Jeff Bezos' newspaper, a guy called Philip Bump was telling us that, quote, the vast amount of reporting on Russia was accurate. Uh-huh. Even they don't really believe this. They know they lied. As we told you a minute ago, BuzzFeed claimed its reporters had seen personally with their own eyes evidence that Michael Cohen had been instructed by Donald Trump himself to perjure himself. This was going to be grounds for impeachment. The editor of BuzzFeed defended that story even after the Mueller investigation took the unusual step of publicly saying it wasn't true. BuzzFeed went all in, and they defended it. They'd seen it with their own eyes. He told us that on this set, on this show. And now there's no question about it. It's over. It's done. It was a lie. That and so much more, all lies. So what happens now that we know those were lies? What do we do with, I don't know, John Brennan and James Clapper? The two of them used to run our most powerful intelligence agencies. For the past couple of years, they've gotten a lot richer than they've ever been from yapping about Russia on television. Only problem? All lies.
What makes you believe that he has more indictments? Because he hasn't addressed the issues related to criminal conspiracy as well as any individuals.
Criminal conspiracy involving the Russian
and Russians, yes, yeah.
Is there influence, whether witting or unwitting, by the Russians over President Trump? And you know, in the intervening year and a half or so, you know, his behavior hasn't done much, at least in my mind, to allay that concern.
So do Clapper and Brennan get to keep their cable television contracts? Probably. In decadent societies, the guilty aren't punished. Only the unpopular are punished. Over on the other channels, they're still talking about Trump tonight, of course. They're not talking about themselves or their failures. The line they're quoting most is from today's report. It was apparently Trump's response when he first learned there was going to be a special counsel investigation into Russia. "Oh, God," he said, "this is terrible. This is the end of my presidency. I'm effed." Well, as it turns out, Trump was wrong on the specifics. He didn't get indicted. Mueller didn't drive him from office. It wasn't the end of his presidency, strictly speaking. But as usual, Trump's instincts were clearer. In fact, they were dead on. In the ways that matter most, the Russia hoax did end his presidency in some sense. It certainly sabotaged it. Mueller's investigation ended critical momentum from the 2016 election almost immediately. Momentum that every incoming president uses to get your program enacted, to make good on the promises you just made to voters. Trump didn't have that, thanks to Russia. Lawmakers, including a shamefully large number of Republicans, who we really should name, but we're out of time, but we will at some point, they were all much happier to talk about Russia than about changing the status quo in Washington, something they were benefiting from, but which Trump ran against. And so they did talk about Russia endlessly. The result? An election that should have realigned our political process and changed this country had almost no effect. 2 years later, virtually nothing has changed. Millions are still flooding over our border from the third world. They're encouraged by an army of nonprofits that instruct them to subvert and mock our laws. The opioid epidemic rages on, as horrifying and horrible and destructive as ever. Suicides are up. Our troops are still bogged down in Syria and Afghanistan and many other places. Goldman Sachs still controls our economy. Tech companies are still spying on you, crushing your freedom of speech. You can still have your life ruined for supporting the wrong candidate in public or for believing there are two genders. Most ominous of all, and most often ignored, Americans are dying younger and having fewer children. None of this was ever resolved. None of it was ever talked about. The Russia investigation didn't destroy Trump, but it did a lot to destroy this country.
No joke. So, when it comes down to it, what is Donald Trump guilty of? What is the president guilty of? The president, ladies and gentlemen, is guilty of self-defense. He's guilty for fighting fictional, fabricated, false charges against himself for crimes he's innocent of. He's guilty of feeling sincere frustration against the daily, persistent, and disingenuous political attacks, lies, and speculation. He's guilty for expressing an opinion. He's guilty for protesting the dishonest witch hunt that is nothing more than revenge for his presidential victory and his subsequent astonishing successes. He's guilty of sincerity and honesty for thinking that he's being unjustly prosecuted and framed by corrupt officials of a corrupt-to-the-core political party, some of whom profess to belong to his party but are actually working actively against it. He acted like any innocent man should act. He acted by pushing back. He acted by refusing to lie down while being steamrolled. He acted by refusing to be railroaded into criminality not of his making. He acted as any innocent man should by trying to obstruct injustice. This is the injustice against his person, integrity, and performance. The injustice of being framed by greedy, self-dealing, soulless, cowardly criminals not fit basically to shine this guy's shoes. These are criminals who paid for the fabricated pack of lies and evidence illegally obtained. They deliberately and speciously persecuted, not prosecuted, persecuted him, knowing he was innocent. They, along with their media stooges, coordinated and colluded and conspired among themselves and with foreign agents to give the false impression to this country that the president obstructed justice by vocally objecting to the three-year-long witch hunt against him, his families and associates, and the American people. There. That's what the president's guilty of. And those are the only things he's guilty of. At no time did the president of the United States ever implement executive privilege on anything that the Mueller investigation wanted to see. Thousands of emails, telephone calls, memoranda, nothing. Not once. And more than on one occasion, the president would have been well within his rights to do so. He never did. Now, Donald Trump's not a perfect man, don't get me wrong. But when it comes to this presidency, in comparison to others who have recently occupied the Oval Office, he may be one of the cleanest ones since Ronald Reagan, maybe before. Something to think about. ACP is heard live here at Blog Talk Radio through the Patriot Nation Radio Network twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Eastern Time. We have a recorded version of the program Sundays at 4 p.m. Mojo50 Radio, mojo50radio.com. Outstanding hosts, top drawer programming. You can't go wrong if you're listening to Mojo. Thanks so much, everybody, for the opportunity to be here. We also have a couple of Facebook presences. I'll touch on those. Talk America West Virginia, Talk America Radio Texas, a Conservative Perspectives archive page, as well as the original meme page. Cowboy Logic, Restoring America Forum. That, of course, good friends Don Newen and Donna Fiducia from Fox News. Incidentally, Baghdad Bob. You guys remember Baghdad Bob? Donna Fiducia, she did that. Personal friend of mine. Anyway, it's nice to be with you. Thanks for the opportunity to visit with you and talk about this stuff. Going to get off of here. You guys take care. We'll see you on Thursday taking a look at things as we do through a conservative's perspective. God bless you. God bless America.